century America and the world and the land of the Bible. And you can still get windows into the past there if you get off the beaten track and walk down a wadi or something like that, and you can see a shepherd and some sheep and some goat, and kind of as close as you can get to get into the sandals, if you will, and looking upon patriarchs, etc. But in regards to an order of service, what takes place in the buildings and in daily life as well, the greatest difference I saw was our view towards the spoken word and antiquity's view towards the spoken word. And God said, "Let there be light. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. In the beginning was the word. Faith comes by hearing," etc., 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 etc. And your church, I'm very thankful, reads the scriptures aloud, which Paul tells Timothy to do in 1 Timothy 4:13, but most don't. Most give more time to announcements than the public proclamation of the oracles of God. And our ministry kind of tackles that head on, kind of like a first century-ish kind of setting, a reading of an entire book and then some comments. And along the way, hopefully motivating you and encouraging you to do the same, to hide God's word in your heart so you don't sin against him. And just that whole package of meditating on scripture day and night. But I'm sure you'll hear more about that if you go to the memorization class this afternoon. I cannot go after lunch, right after lunch, guys. I have to drive to Fort Wayne, Indiana to speak there tomorrow, and then drive back to Chicago tomorrow night. And then on Monday, Hosanna and I are flying to the land of fruits and nuts, California. Back to our home base, along with the rest of those people. And Sarah and the baby will fly from Minnesota to California in a couple weeks. So with all that being said, if you could kind of get your mind around like a first century-ish kind of setting, where you, if you want to follow along, go ahead. I've got it. But just to see someone up front speaking it, and then we'll shift gears and work on the Soldier of God passage in chapter 6. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, when I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling, and what is the glory of his riches, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him, which filleth all in all. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that you, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to them which were afar off and to them which are nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God given unto me, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery which I wrote before in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. It is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promises in Christ by the gospel, of which I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his Spirit. Unto me, whom less than least of all saints was this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to his eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not in my tribulations for you, which are your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he might grant you, according to the riches of his grace, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to grow up with him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, and that he might give you all the fullness of God. Now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him, by Jesus Christ, be glory throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of your vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us has been given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ, and that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, in whom the whole body fitly joined and compacted together by that which every joint supplieth according to the working of the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off the former conversation, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may give to him that needeth it. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is righteousness and goodness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved will be made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. For as the church is subject unto Christ in all things, so let the wives be to their husbands in all things. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, so let every one of you in particular so love his wife, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient unto them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart is to the Lord, and not unto men, not with eye service as men pleasers, but doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing services to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that whatsoever anything any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing threatenings, knowing that your master also is in heaven, and neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication for the saints, with perseverance and watching thereunto for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I ought to speak as I ought to. But that you may know our affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known unto you all things. For this purpose I sent him unto you, that you may know our affairs and how I do, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Okay, let's shift gears. If you have your Bible, you can open it up, if you wish, to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to work through verses 10 and following. Thank you. Okay, thank you, Jerry. Well, the first thing that we want to mention as we get to verse 10 is he says, finally. Now, Paul has spoken of three things up to this point, which you just heard. The first thing he spoke of was the greatness of the purpose of Jesus Christ, the greatness of his purpose. That is another way of saying, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, etc. The second point Paul made was the glory of Jesus' high calling. He hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things of the church, which is his body, etc. The third point he made is that there is a certain life that should follow or issue out of these facts. And these are things like, let him that stole steal no more, be angry and sin not, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And then it forms into kind of a domestic daily life, doesn't it? Instruction. Wives, husbands, servants, masters, etc. And now the fourth point he's going to make here is that such a life cannot be lived without a war, a struggle, a battle. Go to the next one. Now, when he says here, my brethren, he's not talking just to the religious elite, if you will, of his day. He's just talking to everyone in general. Whoever hears this letter as it's on the circuit, on the major route, right? My brethren. He tells them to be strong right off the bat. And part and parcel of that is because of the world that these guys lived in. Of course, well, I shouldn't say of course, a lot of the older texts of Ephesians say it this way. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. It leaves out which are at Ephesus. So some, since it's not in the earliest ones, think that it was added later. Okay. It doesn't really matter in the end. It is what it is. But the point is that if, especially if which are at Ephesus was added later, this is a circular letter, right? It goes up and down Highway 80, you know, from New York to San Francisco and back. And this is how the seven churches of Revelation are mentioned. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. It's like saying New York to California, right? They're all on the major route. Okay, so this letter is getting passed on this route through all of these cells of early Christianity. And be strong because you live in this kind of world, especially if you live in Rome. Okay, be strong. This is the same exact charge, of course, given to Joshua in chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, to be strong and of a good courage and to be not afraid and to neither be dismayed. And of course, Joshua's main concern with those going into Canaan was a heart well stocked with Torah on their lips so that they could mull it over, right, day and night. And only then would they be able to observe to do according to all that is written in it. So be strong in the Lord is used like almost 40 times in this book. Were you counting as I was going through it? No, I wasn't, but it is. It's in there about 40 times. So Paul is telling us that our real spiritual strength resides in union with Lord, with the Lord. Next. This is a mosaic of from in and around Rome that kind of just gives us a snapshot, if you will, of the reason that they're told to be strong. Right? Okay. Next. Okay, verse 11. Putting on the whole armor of God. Now, of course, Paul's inspiration came from the Holy Spirit, but his motivation, if I can say it that way, I think has two lines to it. One of them, textually, he's reaching back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, verse 17, which mentions God dressed as a warrior, clothed with a breastplate of righteousness, covered in zeal. He's this mighty warrior coming on the cloud to wreak havoc on his enemies and save the righteous, right? This warrior. I think this is maybe where he's going, but on a daily life kind of level, if we can go to the next slide, Jerry, the reason Paul knows this order so exactly is because he's chained to these guys. And every single day he sees them, what order they put on the armor. And this is the same exact order, right, that he's going to tell us spiritually how we need to be ready for battle. Next. Now, we see here that you may be able to stand at least four or five times just in this short passage. You are ordered not to go attack, but to stand. to hold the fortress of your soul when it's under bombardment. Now, in the upper left-hand corner, you can see maybe some images of Israelites from the 8th century BC when the site of Lachish was attacked by Sennacherib. And Lachish is a very important city, maybe the second most important city in the region of Judah, because it protects the southwestern flanks up to Jerusalem from the Philistine coastal plain, from the ports of Gaza and etc., and from Egypt. And once he destroyed the site of Lachish, he went back to his home in Nineveh, and on the palace relief, which is about 90 feet long, that they found, part of it was a snapshot of him attacking Lachish. But the upper left-hand corner is what you are supposed to figuratively do with your heart. Next, if we get a close-up of that, right, we're supposed to defend or stand against. First number, next. There it is right there. Okay. Next. Okay, so we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our ministry, Word Sower, sowing the word, we have some James 1:27 kind of works overseas, helping orphans and widows and etc. And I've been able to go to Africa many times and visit our work on the ground there. And it seems that some of those saints wrestle in a different intensity, in a different way with evil than we do in America. For example, I check into my hotel, they want me to meet someone, and he comes in and the door is closed. Well, little did I know about this guy, but he was a former, he's a black witch. He was the family's ancestral cult, calls up the spirits from the netherworld and communicates with them and made a pact with the devil according to his testimony. And I mean, this guy was just possessed. He's not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, like real demons. And he raises through the ranks of Liberia. He comes the spiritual advisor for Charles Taylor, the president of Liberia, who's now in prison in The Hague. And his MO during the Civil War was to have all of his legions of men dress as women for psychological intimidation and get all goofed up before they went out into battle. His was to kidnap a child and to eat it, eat the inwards of the baby, and then go out into battle, totally possessed by a devil. This guy's in my room. But you know what? That's as close I'll ever get into the sandals of being one-on-one with a newly converted Paul, I guess. This is close. I mean, the comparison's not perfect, but, you know, you're talking about, right, someone you don't want to meet in a dark alley, you know. Well, to make a long story short, he's in the bush. Christians know he's in the next town over. And there's two white men at his door. And he declines their invite. Second day, same thing. Third day, and he goes to church with them. According to his testimony, take it for whatever you want. He's on his way to church, and it appears and tells him what he's going to lose and what's going to happen. And he goes to church, and he becomes born again. And now he takes all of that energy and leadership and charisma. For he was sometimes darkness, but now is he light in the Lord. Now he walks as a child of light. Okay, that's a different kind of wrestling match, I think, than most of us deal with. You know, ours is more like, okay, am I going to, you know, press this button here, look at this, right? Am I going to open my mouth and say that? Or am I gonna, whatever, right? But, well, let's just hold that thought for a second. So verse 13, he says right off the bat, wherefore, or in other words, as you realize these grim powers that you are going to be up against, take unto you. That is not a suggestion. That is, in the original, given with military snap. It's a command to be obeyed once and for all. Take unto you. I don't know about you, but just about every day before I go out of the house, I forget to put on the armor. I mean, you know, I know people who invisibly put it on every day, which is not a bad idea. But you forget, and you go out half-cocked into battle, and, you know, you say something stupid to somebody or something, and you're just not, you know, you're just not with it. I pray, you know, the other day, like, Lord, please let me be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath while I'm visiting with my family, because I know they're going to say things that are just dumb, and I'm going to want to comment. And, oh, last night I was so thankful I didn't say anything, that God held my tongue, right? Right? So, take on to you the whole armor of God. Withstand is mentioned here, as you can see, resisting, standing against the onslaughts of the devil. Again, the objective for us is to stand. The evil day mentioned here probably isn't like the day of the Lord or anything like that, but whenever ugliness, fear, whatever, evil rears its head in your daily life routine. Verse 14. Next. Stand therefore, fourth time already, you're commanded to stand and hold the fort of your heart. Now Paul's going to give us this heavenly armor in the same order that their soldiers would have put it on. So the first thing, of course, is the girdle. Now remember, in the world of the Bible, they don't have pants, they don't have shorts. Everything is, I don't know, how can I compare it? Maybe like a muumuu? Okay, maybe something like that? I don't know, right? And so that's your undergarment, if you will. So if a soldier wants to be a soldier, right, you can't wear that, obviously, in the battle. But so what you do then is you would lift it up, right? And you'd make it like a big, like, baby Huey diaper, you know? Maybe kind of look like something like a samurai or a sumo wrestler belt. Maybe that style, right? It's not a one-to-one correspondence, but it paints the picture. But you got to have all of this tied up before you can jump, run, whatever. Okay? So what he's saying is truth, the word, right, is what's going to hold it all together mentally, physically, spiritually in the battle. The truth of God's word. Okay? Next. Now, the second thing, of course, is the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate, of course, protects all of the vital organs, front and back, seam together on the side. And I think maybe what is going on here is with this breastplate, this is a first century Roman breastplate. If your breastplate has a hole in it, i.e., you fill in the blanks, lying lips, greed, whatever. I think that when you, if that's exposed, obviously that was where your adversary is going to attack. And we all know what our, right, we're works in progress, right? What we need to mend. So that's the main point. Get that mended now before you go out into the field of battle and you're attacked right there, because that's where he's going to hit you. Next. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, the Roman soldiers' sandals were analogous to at least the bottoms to baseball spikes or soccer cleats. So when you're on the field of battle, right, you can dig into the proverbial batter's box, right, and swing away. It gives you safe footing. And as you can see in verse 15, the gospel is that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now you have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him, right? That's what gives you that firm footing. If you're in the office, if you're behind the wheel, someone cuts you off, if you're, you know what I mean? The list, the application is endless. But if you have a different gospel, then you have no footing. I was at a Billy Graham crusade helping once when 10, 20 years ago. And the day after, they had the Bible man, this guy who dresses like a superhero, comes out and gave a different gospel. I know he didn't do it on purpose. So I snuck backstage and I told him in a nice way, if I was one of those children and had never heard what you were talking about before, those 5,000 kids, Jesus is still dead in the ground. Because people so often The other week, I was at a church. I looked through every single gospel tract on the wall. Not one of them had the resurrection in it. Those are all a different gospel. And you know what Galatians 1 says about different gospels, right? So we got to make sure, right, that we have our gospel straight. Verse 16, next. Above all, or whatever else you do, take the shield of faith. The word for shield here is scutum. Say, who cares? Well, it's a technical term, but it's basically a 6-foot high shield, okay? And it's one of the shields that are covered with skin-tight, soaked leather, so that when these fiery darts, which they would dip in fire and shoot at you, when it hits it, it's not going to burn out the whole shield right away. So faith is the, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Faith is the absolute you have to have, right, in your daily life to ward off all of these onslaughts is the faith in God's word, the faith in God's promises. There's 1,260 in the scriptures, 1,260 promises. I mean, do you know them? I don't know all of them. And he promised it, so he can't break it, so I think I should know it. But we don't know them. Maybe that'd be a good project for this year. But here's where we get to where the rubber meets the road in verse 17. Next. The helmet of salvation. Of course, the head is the most precious member of the body. You can lose a member, a hand or something, and survive in the battle, but you cannot the head. And so as precious as the head is to life, i.e. the doctrine of salvation is to us. But the sword of the Spirit is where I want to park for a minute, which is the word of God. Now, of course, this is the only offensive weapon mentioned in this laundry list of a Roman soldier's attire. And the word for sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the word for word there is not logos. It's rhema. You say, I could care less. Well, the Holy Spirit cares. And Paul cares. A better translation would be the sword of the Spirit, which is the spoken word of God. That's what rhema means, a thing spoken, literally, a thing spoken. So the idea here is Jesus is tempted in the wilderness, the adversary comes, what does he do? He's like, ah, time out, I mean, I know it's here somewhere, just hold on a second, Lucifer, you know. I mean, God forbid. He opens his mouth and speaks. The sword comes out and does the work. So, the sword of the Spirit, which is the spoken word of God. Most of us don't know anything of the spoken word of God. If you were to put you in a corner and say, okay, I know you believe it's more precious than rubies and all the things that you can desire are not to be compared unto it. Now, tell me it. Tell me your sword. Let me see your sword. No one cares how polished or shiny it is, but just show me if I want to go into war with you. Let me see what you got, what you're carrying. And for 25 years, 30 years, I wasn't carrying anything. I mean, maybe a pocket knife or something. And what good is that? You know? Because you can't in your daily life just like start flipping through this and finding things. I mean, it's got to be in here and in here to call up and then to utilize. So what a great time, being the beginning of the year, to do one verse a week. I think God wants his children to hide his word in their heart. Just a verse a week. And if you do a verse a week, by the end of the year, you'll have the whole book memorized of Jonah, or Titus, or Thessalonians, or the Sermon on the Mount. You know, just investing a verse a week. How does he say it in Ephesians? And be renewed. How am I renewed? In the spirit of your mind. What do you think about? What are all these people up 55 and 74 thinking about? I mean, I really don't care, but it's just like, Are we really setting our affection, our mind, our heart on things above and not on things of the earth? We want strength. Okay, then meditate in God's word. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, and Psalm 1. You can bring a horse to the water. Obviously, you cannot make it drink. It's up to us to have that thirst for not just knowledge, but knowing God. And we know God primarily through his word. And having your word, his word, on your lips and in your heart, right, makes you this kind of soldier who can speak a word of grace to someone, who can whisper into someone's ear. From God's word makes such a difference than our words. My wife, last Monday, we went in after 18 hours of labor, and we have to get a C-section. If she lived in the time of the Bible, they both would have died. And what do you say to her? I know what I'll say to her. I'm going to tell her non-imprecatory psalms. Those are the angry psalms. I'm not going to say those into her ear. Okay. I'm going to speak the psalms. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Rock steady right there in her ear. Not because of me, but because of the word that I hid in my heart that I can minister with. The other week, I parked my vehicle, get out, won't start. What do you do? I'm going to call 1 Thessalonians 5 up and use that to wield off these negative circumstances. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Yes. Now you can be used instead of being off the handle and crazy. And what's the difference between you and the atheist? Nothing. You're both acting like idiots. But if you have God's word to control you and to guide you, now when you have to go rent a car, you're going to know that Adam behind the desk is the one that you're supposed to talk to today, because you never would have talked to him unless all of these things happened. Now you have to talk to him. And you have to give him a gospel track. You know? It all comes from the word. Just a verse a week. Pick a book. Pick a chapter. Pick a psalm. Something with a train of thought. Some logic. It'll come. It's hard work. What I did this morning, quoting Ephesians, that took me like 7 or 8 months of work. And that is what it is, the work of the ministry. Why? For the edifying of the saints. Well, I will be in the back floating around if you have any questions or comments or concerns. Thank you for the opportunity, guys, to come up and speak to you. We always count it a great privilege. And if you have any, I don't have any pictures, I'm sorry, of the baby, but I know. But if you have any questions or anything like that, I'd be happy to answer them. Well, thank you, and may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you.